Why should I make my bed and put my toys away? What's in it for me? Martha and Jack Scott have three children. Johnny is 7 years old, Jennifer is 9 years old, and Tracy is 11 years old. Since Martha returned to her job as an elementary school teacher, she has found it very difficult to clean up after the children and take care of household chores after work. While Jack has pitched in and is taking care of loading the dishwasher and doing laundry, evenings are still quite hectic, and both parents would rather spend some quality downtime with the kids rather than racing to complete chores every evening. What can these harried parents do to increase their children's helping out behavior? There is a myth regarding behavior analysts that we only address unwanted behaviors by working to reduce them or eliminate them completely. Actually, behavior analysts work to increase desired behaviors as well, often simultaneously with reducing unwanted behaviors. As promised in my previous podcast, today I will address increasing desired behaviors. Martha and Jack have reached out to a behavior analyst regarding how they can increase their children's behavior of making their beds before leaving home for school in the morning and picking up their toys before going to bed at night. Every morning, they tell the kids to make their beds before they leave for school, and each night, they tell the kids to put their toys in their toy boxes. Usually, the kids ignore the parents or do a very incomplete job at the task. The parents have tried punishing them, usually by threatening to take away their favorite television show. However, they rarely follow through with the consequence. Let's first address the issue of punishment. A punishment procedure can often change an unwanted behavior in the moment, but often does not change the behavior over time. That is, the change doesn't last. In Martha and Jack's case, they have made threats to take away a privilege, the television show, which is called response cost punishment, but they haven't followed through on the punishment. So, they have sent a very clear message to the children that Mom and Dad have a loud bark, but no bite. The children just tune the threat out. Inadvertently, the parents, by not following through, have actually reinforced the non-compliant behavior of their children, and they are likely to see this non-compliance spill over into other areas of their children's lives, such as not doing homework, not turning off the video games when told, and so forth. What can be done? Behavior analysts resist punishment procedures as much as possible, because we know we can change more behavior with honey than with punishment. Often, punishment creates sneaky behavior in which the individual continues to engage in the unwanted behavior, but just not when the enforcer is around. So we would design a reinforcement procedure to help Martha and Jack get the desired behaviors from their children that they want. Reinforcement comes in two forms: positive reinforcement, in which the individual earns something, something desired is presented, and negative reinforcement, something undesired is removed. Positive reinforcement can be as simple as allowing the children to stay up an extra hour on the days they complete the assigned chores, if staying up an extra hour is a desired reward for the children. Negative reinforcement can be removing the demand to complete tomorrow's chores for completing chores today. But you would want to maintain the positive reinforcement with the negative reinforcement in the current approach to the scenario. Why is reinforcement so important when wanting to increase a desired behavior? Well, we all do things that allow us access to something we want. For example, a husband may rush home from work to make his wife's favorite meal to gain her smile and appreciation. A child may engage in extra study behavior to earn an A on his report card to earn $10 from his parents for bringing up his grade. We all do things to gain something in the case of positive reinforcement. We also engage in behaviors that get us out of things that are unpleasant, such as a child playing sick to get out of going to school. If allowed to stay home, she has been negatively reinforced for playing sick. having to go to school has been removed, and playing sick will happen again in the future. Identifying strong reinforcement is the key to success. While the children do have a favorite show that they like to watch every evening, it may not be their most desired reinforcer. Actually, screen time makes a more powerful reinforcer for these children. They love to play video games and would play them for hours if they could. So screen time will be the reinforcer. Decision made. But in order to make screen time more reinforcing, the kids can't have free access to the computer or tablet. If they can play video games anytime they want, they will not be motivated to earn screen time by making their beds in the morning and putting away their toys before bed at night. So the privilege of screen time must be earned by completing chores. Screen time is much more valuable to the kids now because they do not have free access to it. How much screen time should each child receive for completing their chores? Good question. It depends on the family schedule, but 45 minutes to an hour seems reasonable. Because we don't want to interrupt the bedtime routine, a specific time should be set for the evening chore. If the children go to bed at 9 p.m., then they should have their toys put away by 7 p.m., take baths at 7:30, and have screen time from 8 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. or 9 p.m., depending upon the amount of screen time the parents have decided upon. Now that the specifics are worked out, it is time to tell the children the new rules. Mom and Dad buy 3 inexpensive children's tablets and set screen time for 1 hour. The parental controls allow the parents to set the tablet to automatically turn off after 1 hour or so. If the children tend to balk at turning over the tablets, the parents are still in control. When explaining the new system of earning screen time by completing chores, the pain the children will initially feel can be mitigated by the shiny new tablets. The parents will explain the entire procedure to the children while tucking them into bed the night before the system begins. And I'd give the children 10 minutes to check out the new tablets at that time, sort of whet their appetite. The next morning, the new system begins. There are many ways to design and implement reinforcement programs to increase desired behaviors. This is just one example for our hypothetical family. Let's take a look at a common issue middle school teachers face, that is, students not completing their homework. While most students will complete assigned homework, there are always a few who do not, and teachers worry about those students not gaining needed skills. What can be done? A token economy works fantastically well in the classroom. The teacher can survey her students regarding what they think would make good rewards for completing and turning in their homework each school day. The teacher can reach out to parents for some help in purchasing those items for the classroom store. Each item will require a specific number of tokens to purchase. More valuable items will require more tokens than less valuable items. For example, let's say that each student earns 1 token for each day of the week that he turns in his homework. If a student turns in his homework Monday through Thursday, he earns 4 tokens that week. The items in the store range in price from 1 to 8 tokens. He would be able to purchase an item costing 4 tokens at the store on Friday, or he can save up his tokens in order to buy a more highly valued item the following Friday. But there would be lower priced items for those students who did not meet the expectation of turning in homework 4 days of the week. I would love to hear from my listeners. If you have questions or if you have a topic you'd like me to address, please email me. Your name will be kept confidential. My email address is harla@understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. While you're at it, please check out my website at understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I've placed transcripts of my podcast there for those who may want a printed version. I look forward to continuing the conversation.